Welcome to the Triangle Podcast. This podcast is for members of Fort Smith's First Baptist Church. Our host, Janet Addison, will talk with Pastor Greg and others about how being involved in the life of our church can help stretch your transformation triangle. The transformation triangle represents the three foundations of spiritual growth: our identity in Jesus, our relationship with Him through prayer, Bible study, and faith choices, and our ministry to others. We'll explore ways to deepen your walk with Jesus by strengthening and stretching the legs of your triangle.
Hello, church family, and welcome back to the Triangle Podcast. I am going to be talking today with two people that I love to talk with. They're returning guests to the podcast, Callie Wood and Matt Passmore. Hey, y'all.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're going to be talking about teenagers, and they said we should start with a teenager joke. So I'm just going to tell the only teenager joke that I know, which might not even be very funny, and I'm not even sure who said it, but I kind of think Mark Twain is the one credited with saying when kids, you know, when your boys, I think, are growing up, you should put them in a box with a hole in it, and mm-hmm. then when they turn 16, you plug the hole or whatever. So that's the only teenager joke I know.
What are we supposed to do with our girls?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. The only thing I remember about raising a girl versus raising a boy is I always told Mabry, haughty eyes. Get rid of those haughty eyes. The Bible specifically talks about haughty eyes. She would look at me in a way Grant never looked at me. She got over that, but I thought, oh my word, that is a girl thing, haughty eyes.
Yep.
So anyway, we wanted to talk about your new Sunday school class because I'm very excited about that. So why don't you tell us about it?
We are really excited about it. You know, it probably a year ago, just even with talking with Pastor Greg, we were just thinking of what are some areas in the churches we could pray through, finding, just starting Sunday school classes, finding people just to connect, make small group, and just go through life together with, you know. And one that just automatically popped up as we were looking through was a class just if they had teenagers. We've got a lot of teenagers, and right now we just don't have just tons of parents involved. We got teenagers, but no parents. And we had a few of those that decided we were going to start a class together, and we've just been reaching out, growing, and it's really kind of come together kind of, I don't want to say funny because it's not funny. The Lord put it together, but a couple weeks ago, we had 16, and we've only been, about a month and a half?
Yeah, and that's awesome.
So it's just,
well, that shows you really were scratching an itch that people had and maybe didn't even know they had. But
and then Callie's went through hours of stuff just finding people, kids that have teenagers, mm-hmm. to reach out to.
Just to let them know that we're
reach
doing
out
this.
And a lot are trying, and the ones that have tried have come back. And so it's been pretty neat to see what God's doing in that group.
Okay, well, Callie, you've got a spread in your family, so y'all have got a teenager and you've got some younger ones. Tell me, is raising a teenager different than raising littler ones?
Yes, it is. It is, it is. And our teenager, we share part-time. But even in those part-times, when you're talking about haughty eyes, I can also feel when I say things, I'm like, oh, that's going to hit wrong. I can already tell because it hit me wrong when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It definitely is a, you must be in constant prayer, because if not, you'll lay awake at night all the time just thinking, should I have said this? I didn't say this. Did I tell him this before he left? Did I say this last year? Did I, you know, you're always rethinking what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've raised a couple of teenagers, Matt, so you know it's, I mean, you've got the spread too in y'all's family.
The Lord's been good to us. We also have a six-year-old, so we get to try it again, you know, eventually.
Correct all the mistakes you made.
I'll be a lot wiser, I hope. But yes, it's, and I think the teenage year, I don't think there's actually a book that says this is how to raise your teenager. I think all three of mine were completely different. I could encourage, I could discipline way different to each one.
Well, and you had three girls, and now you got a boy.
And three girls and naughty eyes. I got you.
That's going to be different, too. Boy.
But, you know, I think with one thing we've talked about, just the leadership of this class and praying through, and just the idea of we're going to be careful about saying this is how you parent your teenager. Really what we're encouraging is God doesn't want you to be a better parent to a teenager or even a better husband, or he wants you to be a follower of him. And in the process of following him, you will then be a better parent. So really our class isn't about how to raise teenagers, even though there's been questions or there's been thoughts, my teenager did this, and we look into scripture with it. But the goal is, how can we as a couple or as a parent get into God's word and change our life in the process of what I'm reading in my quiet time, change my relationship, change my teenager's life by what the Lord's doing in my own life. And it's kind of been kind of neat how we've been in the book of Amos, and you think the book of Amos, but
yeah,
the,
that's exactly what I was thinking. Really? And people are coming back.
Exactly. The minor prophet of Amos and the encouragement of just what he laid out and how the Lord used him in a mighty way. It's kind of been pretty cool. And then we did take a break for Easter and just share through Easter, and just, we started and hardly anyone said a word. And then last Sunday, almost everyone in the class participated at some point. And I got to tell this story. There's a guy in the church, in our group. And about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago during church, the invitation ended and nothing, you know, no one came forward. And then Pastor Greg, as he's walked, you know, before it was over, he said, "Hey, we still are going to have someone up front if you want to make a decision, or I'll be in the new area." Pastor Dave happened to be standing there, and this guy comes down with his family, and he shakes Dave's hand, and Dave starts to talk to him, and the guy, who's probably 30-something years old, just said, "I need to give my life to Jesus." Mm-hmm. And they knelt down at the altar right there on the steps, and he gave his heart to Jesus right there. And so like we normally do, we had him come in during the week, and then I wasn't there at that point, so Dave included me that week when they came back in, and I took the teenagers and he took the parents, and we just went through what it was to be saved, the calling of sin and the repentance of sin. And he goes, "That's what I did." Mm-hmm. And a couple weeks later, he got baptized. And since then, his wife, who was a Christian growing up, has basically got excited about the Lord again. And she's fired up, bringing her Bible. She answered questions on Sunday, and their two kids have been saved and baptized. And that's kind of what the picture of this class is. If we can get the parents excited about the Lord, look at what it'll do to the mm-hmm. whole entire family. Mm-hmm. And so that's just an exciting testimony that we didn't even really, the Lord did that, mm-hmm. which he saves everyone. I get it. But you know yeah, what I mean? In that yeah. particular instance.
Well, and there's nothing like people getting saved to get the rest of us excited about being here and doing what we're supposed to do. That's awesome.
And Matt shared a statistic in class 1 week about if it starts really from the top down, from your dads, when the dads start coming, and I can't remember what exactly that was, but the likelihood that the rest of that family will be moving towards the Lord.
It's pretty high. I think yeah. 80, 85, 90% if the dad gets saved, most of the family gets saved.
Well, you think about the Bible stories too, some of the characters in the New Testament, and talked about, you know, they would get saved and their family mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So that is a very powerful, the dad is a huge influence in a family.
And then we've assigned, assigned's not a good word, but there's a group of us that's come together that kind of in that class have different assignments as you, the leadership. And then even like Callie's husband, Adam, who does men's discipleship, and Chad, who's involved also, how they've went after these dads of, "Hey, come on Wednesday night to our men's discipleship." And almost all of them at least came and gave it a try there too. And so it's really exciting to see not just me as a Sunday school teacher, there's a team that are wanting new people to come. And when they walk in the room, and I don't mean it creepy, but when they do walk in the room, they're after wanting to build a relationship with them. Mm-hmm. Adam showed me just texting of the encouragement he has through these new people walking in. And it, what a picture that is of the church and of
iron sharpening iron. Yeah. Walking together.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I know it's been a while since we parented teenagers, and I can't even imagine how stressful it is these days. So what do you see being some of the major issues that y'all are going to want to look at? Or are you going to just do scripture type stuff and let the issues organically come out of that?
Probably just a little bit of both. We're kind of new in it, just kind of going through it. The Lord's really used just the scripture of, it's amazing that every week the topic comes up to answers a question. You know what I mean? At this point, I do think that we've talked about this even with our student ministry. I honestly think the phone and the access of different things on the phone is a problem that you cannot, I mean, adults are having, it's not just teenagers, it's just the phone in general. And I honestly think it's something we're going to have to deal with. I think we need to bring in professionals to come in and just have a deal with parents in general, because I was looking at something the other day. Second graders are, majority of them have phones now, you know, and what they can do with that phone, it's scary. And we really need it. There's groups out there that come in and can show parents, hey, here's what you need to be saying no to. Here's how you got to block or protect. And I think that's eventually through our class and through other areas, something we got to look into.
You could put filters on your computers and mirror programs, and you used to could buy a phone that didn't have access to the internet and all that. And I don't even know how available those kind of things are now.
I think they're there, but kids, there's stuff out there on TikTok and all the crazy stuff of how to bypass what your parents are doing. I mean, there are ways to get around everything now.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not smart enough to raise a teenager.
That's why we need this class and we need the Lord.
Well, and that's the power of a Sunday school group, is because of the bond of some form, whether it's, you know, all women or parents. Like our class was parents raising kids, and now this is, y'all have got older kids people are raising. That's a real bonding thing. So that's good. Okay, well, what else? Fun stuff? Are y'all planning some fun things?
We've kind of talked about it, but it's funny on Sunday mornings, just hearing about everybody's week.
Oh, schedule crazy.
So it's like we just haven't nailed anything down, but the fellowship on Sunday, we're barely getting done in time to get to church.
Well, that's good.
And Greg, always a good problem to
Greg,
have.
I'm not going to speak for him, but...
Oh, he's told us.
He probably would say that's important. That's really important, because that's the glue that holds us together as a family, is spending time with your family.
And we've got most of them that have teenagers either go younger with elementary or they go older. They have a teenager, you know, in the middle, but then they have other kids that are younger or we have a bunch that have some kids that are older. Mm-hmm. And so it really goes. And Greg's even said, we just live in a busy society. And I honestly think that's something that Satan uses. Our busyness sometimes can be just as bad as the phones or whatever, because busyness, you think you're doing good getting your kid everywhere, but sometimes we as a family probably need to just take a step back, take a deep breath, and say no to a few things and spend some family time together.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
That's exactly what I was thinking. We all should do that more, and when we don't. You know, and not that I want COVID back at all, but that was a sweet season of... nobody had to do anything or go anywhere. And I thought that would linger a little longer than it did.
Yeah, we might have learned something from it.
Yeah, but we cranked back up pretty fast. Well, what are you thinking are some of the most concerning things that parents are having to face these days, raising teenagers specifically?
It's a great question. And in our class, we've kind of seen probably a gamut of a lot of different things, you know.
Friend groups,
just activities.
Access. Maybe even trying to battle with their faith and how it's developing.
Now, that is a very challenging thing as a parent, how to encourage your child, you know, to have their own sense of faith and their own walk with the Lord, not just carrying on mom and daddy's faith.
I think there's a time to coach that. I look back and I was grateful almost to have my dad's faith in a way through high school while I was being discipled through him. He spent a lot in, but there does come a time where you got to make your faith your faith. And so that's a big piece of growing into the adult God's called you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge piece as a parent to coach the idea. Eventually you're going to have to make your own faith. But right now here's what I think's right. Mm-hmm. And the example that I'm setting. And that takes us back to parents. We got to be good examples. The last thing we want to do is look back and they're like, well, my dad didn't do it. Or my, you know what I'm saying? Just the excuse. Well, if he didn't do it, why would I do it? So it does put a little pressure on us to be who God's called each one of us to be that example.
Yeah. Because they're watching. Yep. And they're listening.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's an intimidating thing about being a parent.
We've been talking about in Amos how he kind of tried to blow it off at the beginning. I'm just a sheep herder. I'm just a. Well, you can't say that as a parent. You're not just a parent. You are a parent. And the magnitude of that word being attached to your name says it all right there. You're a Christian parent. When you add that adjective to it, just kicks it up a whole nother level of importance. And this is what God's now called you to be, not just a Christian, but a parent. So you need to be walking the walk and talking the talk.
And when we became parents, I guess I was stupid, but I don't think it dawned on me that you're a parent for life, not just till your kids graduate and go off to school or go off to the workforce. I mean, we're still parenting, and I know my mother's still parenting me. She still likes to encourage me in things that I should or should not be doing. But, you know, just the whole continuousness of it. Not only is it 24/7, you know, it's forever. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of wisdom and it takes a lot of time in God's word to be able to do that well.
And also what's exciting about this class, it's a co-ed class for the most part, you know, husband and wives together. And so normally, it's been a while, you know, I've been in ministry a while and it's like I end up going and teaching. It's me teaching and I've really enjoyed this because my wife, she's kind of done everything I've asked her to do, done children, done students. And I'm
like a good ministry wife.
And I'm grateful for her, but I was able to go to her and say, come join in this. We mm-hmm. can do ministry together. Mm-hmm. And so on Sunday morning, her getting a set beside me in the class and bring a woman's perspective. And I don't mean that at all, just I can share, and then there's times she can come with a different look and a different mm-hmm. view from a different mm-hmm. and it's fun to get to do that now and, mm-hmm. and to be in this class and ministry together. And I think it's good for all of us to hear both sides of husband and wives as we get to sharing in scripture here. And it's been fun.
Well, because God does wire dads to parent differently than moms parent, and you know, that's part of his design and right. all mm-hmm. that. So it is good to bring both of those things in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what room y'all meet in? If people are in this demographic and think, oh, I didn't know we had a class like that and want to check it out.
We're in 210. It's actually 208 and 210, but the door okay. we go in is 210 on the second floor.
Okay.
It's in a corner.
So it's not a not an unbearable number of steps that nope. you have to climb.
Nope.
Okay. We'll be in the hallway till the class starts, greeting people. We're excited about being there. It's we've already moved rooms. The first room we chose was a little
too small.
We didn't realize we was
awesome.
And so it's been a blessing. And so yeah, we've got plenty of room. We got coffee. Actually, the guy that got saved, he gets there early and makes coffee for us. So he's already got him a job and we're grateful to have him in there. So we got plenty of jobs. Come join us and we'll find you one. So
that's great.
But it is fun just to go through life together.
I love that people are excited about wanting to parent teenagers well, because teenagers are often a misunderstood, overlooked group, and people, I don't know, sometimes people think, oh, they're too much trouble. I don't know what to do with them. But what a terrific age group. They're so amazing.
And we see through scripture, exciting. God used teenagers.
Oh my goodness, he
for
did.
For all kinds of stuff. So
they are so ripe for learning so much stuff, and they can do such big things for the Lord, even at a young age. Like,
well, and you see that they can have a bigger passion about something when they get fired yes. up about it. So
yes.
we can sit back as an adults and we've lived a lot and we can make excuses. Well, this is going to, and they don't
they're
know the excuses.
They're not cynical and jaded yet. There's still hope and optimism and all those kind of things that it's an exciting
Well, you can
age
see it
group.
When the student ministry gets excited and they, you know, Jake and Brad saying, go bring friends, they'll go ask their friends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Pastor Greg can say it to the adults and it's like, ah, oh, someone else will do that.
Yeah.
But it's different. You know, it's, the kids are just got a passion. If you can get that fire lit, they're going to have a passion. They get after it. And we've seen that through scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's awesome. Yep. Well, I'm excited about y'all's class. And I'm excited for our church that's something that we're offering. So thanks for telling us about it. And any of you out there listening who have teenagers and want a new Sunday school class, this is a great one to try.
And can I also jump in? We've started this class. We're excited about it. We actually, you know, when Pastor first got here, we started the class for people with kids. If you're sitting out there and there's a group that you think we need to start a class on, you got an idea of a group that we need to go after, give us a holler. We're looking at starting classes where people want to come and hear about Jesus and make a group together. So if there's a group out there you think we need to start, please give us a holler and we'll pray through it and see how we can start it.
Oh, well, that's a good word. That's a good word, Matt, to end on. So, okay, well, I guess that's all. I don't have a joke to end on, so I'll just say thanks for listening, and we will see you again soon.
Thank you for joining us for the Triangle Podcast. If you want to hear Pastor Greg's Triangle Sermon, the link is in the show notes. If you have comments about this episode or have a suggestion for future guests or topics, please email us at trianglepodcast@fsfbc.org. Also, check out our church website at fsfbc.org for the ministries and opportunities to get involved with Fort Smith First Baptist and stretch your triangle.